PCNminerals.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, Ed Komrek, here to talk about the paranormal UFOs, and we're focusing a lot on UFO secrecy, secret projects, and everything, but maybe in this final four segments, we should try to bring it all together and focus on the exopolitics movement. Now, when I hear exopolitics, I say, oh, okay, we're going to set up a diplomatic corps to communicate with ET. Is that what it means?
Okay, just getting back to Alfred. Alfred may have come up with a name. We don't know for sure. I talked to one person that's well known who says that they had heard it before Alfred came out in the public about it. So that's not set in concrete. But that said, Alfred was critical in bringing the, and he has to be given credit for, you know, writing an exopolitics book and coining a word that was much better for us than the word UFO, because the UFO was, you know, first there was flying saucers, but then the Air Force kind of denigrated that into unidentified flying objects when, you know, if you know what we know or aware of, you realize they already knew, but they're using UFOs to kind of denigrate the word. You know, you get into psy war, you know, you in psychological warfare, and where words become weapons, like a conspiracy theorist. You know, they're conspiracy investigators. But when you call a good conspiracy investigator a conspiracy theorist, you're denigrating that individual and you're using a word as a weapon. And this is something we, you know, we see very much in our field. But Alfred Weber did help get this started. He was one of the founders. So there were several of us that were founders at the time. I was involved in it back in the 80s when I first realized that we were dealing with a number of different types of extraterrestrial races. And from my experiences in ecology, it wasn't hard for me to grasp that these different races had to have relationships between each other and between us. And so I was thinking exopolitics way back in the 80s, but I really didn't have a word for it. And other people were doing the same thing. He coined the word, and he helped give a boost to the field, and he should get credit for that. Then what happens is then, and he had a spam filter to some degree back then, but it's deteriorated ever since then.
And, okay, but a lot of this means nothing to a lot of our listeners who don't care about Alfred Weber and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Exopolitics, what is the reasoning behind the term and the movement?
Okay. Just tried to establish a basis for exopolitics in that there are possibly extraterrestrial spacecraft that have crashed. There's possibly occupants in those craft. That if you research it enough, you'll see that the occupants really vary from different types of occupants. You can go back to some of the early cases in the 50s. You know, there's a lot of them are humanoid. MUFON did a study, I think, where they said like one third were like humans, another third was like humanoid, and another third was like who knows what, whatever. So if, with that as a basis, you start to begin to think ecology. You know, you start to start thinking of relationships. And so basically, exopolitics is really the same thing as the ecology of the universe. And you've got the same kind of problem is that my dad had trying to get the taxonomist to understand ecology, that how can you start talking about things that relationships that don't exist and you haven't even collected all the animals that are involved in these relationships and whatever. So it's very similar to what, you know, what I'm going through, and I've been well prepared for it by growing up in that kind of environment. So once you make an assumption, you know, for speculation purposes or whatever, if you're not that well informed, that there are many different types of extraterrestrials. They're in relationship with each other. They're in relationship.
Okay, but we're making lots of assumptions here. Okay, let's go A, B, C, D, and let's see where we go with it, okay? So we make assumptions about ET, and that's probably not a very difficult assumption to make. Even more traditional science will accept the fact that there are likely hundreds, thousands, millions of inhabited planets, many of whom may have advanced intelligent species. Okay. Then the second assumption, which is maybe a greater stretch, is a relationship to one another. So do we assume they have a federation or something?
Okay, so you get into relationships, and this is where also you've got to be careful, like about going out on a limb or going over the cliff, is that because of so much disinformation, you really need to stick with cases that involve extraterrestrial contact that are by more than one person or that other people can substantiate parts of that person's story.
Okay, but that is the biggest problem of all. I don't think, and I'll challenge you here, that we've ever substantiated a claim of ET contact. We have had reports of contact, sometimes from credible people. We have UFO abductions. But for the most part, we have not substantiated anything about meeting ET. Not at all. We do not know what those experiences are, if they are physical experiences with ET, if there's some sort of mental process involved there. We don't know.
Okay, this is what I'm making an argument in this book, because it's got to be made with the links and the evidence for each part of this argument, okay? So that's what I'm trying to do in the rewrite of this book that I've got up on my blog. I've got five chapters of it so far.
Okay, but we understand that, and we'll certainly tell our listeners where to find it. But the question I'm going to raise again is, all right, it's all right if you believe that we're in contact with ET or those contacts have occurred, but even with abductions, where pretty strange things are happening and those experiences are revealed by remembrances, by hypnotic regression, etc., etc. Can you prove a single case of alien contact has ever occurred?
Well, not by the standards of proof that you're asking, and you're not going to probably get that till the bullet hits you in the chest. You know, so you've got to think like an intelligence operative, you know, that you're dealing with an intelligence that's more advanced than you are to begin with. You're dealing with other people that are involved in the cover-up that are intelligent and have a lot of resources and whatever. So you're not going to get the kind of evidence you want, or there wouldn't be any cover-up. It'd been over with. We'd have figured this out already. If somebody had got a body and got the bodies out and got them to the journalists and everybody saw them and saw they're real, we wouldn't be even arguing that it wasn't ETs exist or whatever, let alone exopolitics. So we've got to kind of fly by the seat of our pants with good intelligence, you know, and gather good intelligence so that we are prepared for the time when the facts do come out.
I assume then that we know what those facts are going to be.
Well, why do you have intelligence operatives and agencies involved in wars?
Sure, but at that point in time, there are certain things you know you're going to get. You know there's another party to that war or more than one party. You know if you send the intelligence operatives out, they're going to get information. You may not know what that information is, but you know it exists. You can certainly speculate that we have UFOs, that they appear to be credible instances of some sort of contact with an unknown race. We can speculate what that race is, but when someone says they've contacted ET, you still have to get back to traditional avenues of proof. I mean, you can say, well, the intelligence community is out there, they're going to block the proof, but then we can be talking to ourselves.
Well, that's where collaborative evidence comes in. You know, you just can't go out on a limb on any one individual. You got to take a lot of individuals, and then a lot, and even of those individuals, you really want to be, you know, have collaborating evidence, documents, other individuals that collaborate parts of the story and whatever before you really get down, you know, feel like your speculation has a solid foundation to it. And that's the problem that we have on the internet and in the UFO field in general. We have a lot of people making a lot of speculation, and they're way out on the limb from what the facts are, and they get completely out of touch with reality, and they actually lose it and can end up in a mental hospital or whatever. What you have to do is you have, just like Hitler knew that Great Britain was his enemy, but he didn't know where they were going to invade, you know, on the coast of France. And the British were able to deceive him into thinking, you know, that it was going to be way north of Normandy area up there. And he even believed that for 2 days after they were already well established on their bases in the south of France. So who got it right and who got it wrong determined the possible outcome of the war at that point. And so the intelligence operatives in Britain, they were good enough to be able to deceive Hitler, and Hitler's were bad enough to be able to be deceived. And the whole outcome of the war could have been determined if Hitler's intelligence operatives were good enough and figured that out and got down there and stopped the beachheads. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. You got to quit thinking like a scientist that is dealing with hard facts with intelligences that are not as smart as he is. You're dealing with intelligences that are more smarter than you are, that can rearrange your experiment on you, can put disinformation.
Okay, I get the point about disinformation, but I guess we then have to start considering how we're going to determine what is real information and what might be disinformation, and from whom. We have Ed Komarek exploring exopolitics, conspiracies, and lots more. You're with Gene and Chris, because you're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, December 2nd, 2011. Gold open this morning at 1756.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $17.99.79, $8.99.90 for a half ounce, or $4.49.95 for a quarter ounce. That's $17.99.79, $8.99.90, and $4.49.95.
Gold isn't for you? Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, and I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed the government is doing a great job. The Fed will stop handing out trillions like bailout candy, but that's not what's happening. If all looks rosy, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked while gold has risen 1,600%. Savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. Call 800-686-2237. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
Why don't want me to
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
Ed Komrek joins us. We're focusing on exopolitics and what we know and don't know about UFOs. And it comes back to this again. You know, we could speculate and say we know all this information, but at the end of the day, someone's going to ask you for evidence. Now, how do you substantiate anything if the government's going to stop you?
So what I'm doing is, you know, trying to make the argument in this writing and with all the links to it, the circumstantial evidence, the witness testimony, and some DNA evidence and other things or whatever, some physical evidence. What we have to do is kind of the situation as Hitler's Germany was doing with the British. We have to sort it out and get it right, because otherwise we could be in the same situation as Hitler losing the war. We could lose, you know, our own future involved in all this, and thus we can wrap our mind around it. So we have to fly by the seat of our pants and keep double checking and checking ourselves to make sure we don't get too far away from the evidence and realizing that the evidence can be manipulated and changed and whatever. But that said, once we've established that there may be extraterrestrial life, there may be different types of extraterrestrial life, they may have evolved on other planets in a lot of different ways. So they probably evolved as a top predator on the planet. Even some of the SETI scientists are talking, you know, about that, you know, probably the predator would be the one that evolved off, you know, first off the planet. And so we're not just dealing with good ETs or bad ETs or whatever. We're dealing with other intelligent beings, much like ourselves, that probably evolved off of their planet as top predator. And that we might not be the top predator on this planet and not realize it. And that we may be being manipulated beyond our state of awareness by other extraterrestrial races. At the same time, we may be in the middle of a mental battlefield in which other races are trying to help us and would like to be allied, you know, with us.
So, I hear a lot of maybes here.
You know, the ultimate truth is going to be what the history is going to tell the story as to what was real and what wasn't real. But I'm saying a lot is at stake here, and we need to try to get it, to try to wrap our minds around it, because if we don't, it's the same way with these bankers, you know, that are out to dominate the world. If we don't get it right, you know, when the trap is sprung, it's going to be too late, and we won't be able to get out of the trap. And the trap's being sprung, you know, some people are getting their minds around that, and people are losing their jobs, and the bankers are being bailed out and everything else. It's really important for us to get it right, just like it had been for Hitler to get it right about the British, where they were going to land at Normandy. So we've got to deal with ambiguity here and fly by the seat of our pants and try to wrap our minds around it to get to a point where we can begin to get the solid, hard evidence. And what I'm trying to, you know, point out here is, as I write, is, you know, giving, you know, I've got my significant, I put all these quotes we talked about at the beginning of the program up, you know, significant quotes. I've got Harry Truman saying here, "I can assure you that flying saucers, given that they exist, are not constructed by any power on Earth." President Harry S. Truman, 1950. "The next war will be an interplanetary war. The nations must someday make a common front against attack by people from other planets." General Douglas MacArthur, 1955, in the Old Soldiers Never Die speech. You've got to take all these little pieces, you know, and put them together. "Behind the scenes, high-ranking Air Force officers are soberly concerned about UFOs, but through official secrecy and ridicule, many citizens are led to believe that unknown flying objects are nonsense." Admiral Roscoe Henry Hillencarter.
Okay, yeah, we know about the statements. We know about the statements. It doesn't help us prove anything. We just know that there are statements.
I'm saying there's a basis for it, but it's not the definitive basis that you want. And if you expect to get a definitive basis, it's not going to happen until the bullet hits you in the chest, is what I'm saying. It's going to be too late to get it right then. And it's important for people to get it right now and wrap their minds around it to preempt what's coming down the pike for all of us. But it's a difficult thing to do because it's so big, it's so fantastic, it's almost impossible for a lot of people to sort out what it is. And so what people like myself are trying to do is trying to sort it out from our years of experience in the field and make people aware that there are a lot of frauds and there are a lot of hoaxers involved. They're creating false narratives. The government's creating false narratives to run against the public, propaganda operations, you know, against the public. And this has been going on, you know, since the 1940s and whatever. But we can begin to get an idea, but it's not going to be unambiguous. It's going to be by the seat of our pants, and we may have to adapt our thinking as more facts, you know, become involved. But we need a model. We need some kind of a roadmap that has some degree of accuracy in order to predict what the situation is and what our future is going to be. And what I'm saying is it's really important for the people to get this right, because by the time that we get the solid evidence and the bullets hit us in the chest, it's going to be too late. That we've got to try to do this with the evidence as unsubstantiated sometimes as it is, to understand the big picture and understand the roadmap, and that can guide our actions in a positive manner, in a constructive manner for ourselves, and not be used against us.
Chris, we had a few days to ask questions from our listeners in our forums, and maybe as we have now gotten deep into exopolitics, Chris, could you see if we have any questions that our listeners are curious about?
Yeah, and this leads me to another area that I wanted to ask Ed about, which is some of the inroads that he's made within the intelligence community. This comes from Snidely Whiplash, where he's been here since last May on the forums, forum.theparacast.com. Ed, how well have you been able to gain inroads within the government, and he says, having such fringe beliefs? Or do you not share the controversial aspects of your belief system? It would seem these beliefs would hinder any serious effect you would have on the mainstream, let alone with fellow ufologists. Now, I've seen you mention names of known operatives, people that are connected in the know, names like Ron Pandolfi, Dan Smith, Gary Beckham's done a lot of research, as you have, has a lot of contacts, Jack Sarfati. What do these people tell you privately about this whole subject, and how many clues have they been willing to let go of?
Here's just a little tiny clue that just, you know, the really good thing about running this blog and with all these blog articles floating all around and then being open for anybody to republish is that it creates a feedback loop to me where people get back with me, just like I have on my Facebook wall. I give a lot of UFO information, and other people get back to me, give me more information. And so there's this feedback loop that really puts me in a position to gather a lot of information and you know, to sort out little bits and pieces. You know, for instance, my sister died about 10 years ago down in South Florida, and I went down there. And I sat next to a guy, and we got to talking about UFOs a little bit, and he was a friend of my sister. He was a lobbyist, a well-known lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And he said, yeah, he said, you know, when we were kids, there was a guy up the street that knew about this, you know, and they had classified clearances. And all he would say to us was, yes, UFOs are real, and it's beyond your wildest imagination. And so I take little pieces like that, and I put it together with what Ben Rich says, Oberst says, you know, what Helen Carter says, what General Ford has said, what Billy Carter has said, little bits and snippets of information, all these little fragments of information. And I tried to create a picture, a roadmap of what's going on in order to get even more information.
And we have a roadmap to present to you right now. We have Ed Komarek with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Warning, this content is powerful and may cause others to reject your knowledge. If you want to know what happened to America, if you like cutting-edge information, if you need to convince someone that something different than what they believe is actually taking place, and to experience the true history of America you won't find anywhere else, get the new book, Satan's Show. Satan's Show is a hard-hitting look at what many know as the Antichrist and proof of a mind-control agenda. Learn how America was tricked into entering World War I and get over 9 hours of audio and over 700 reliable web links. Satan's Show is available in ebook and audio downloads. Click the special offer for $14.99 and you'll receive both, plus Operation Northwoods on audio free with purchase. Download today at satansshow.com. You will be shocked. You will be amazed. SatansShow.com.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning, e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Ed Komarek. We're talking about exopolitics and the need to get evidence with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Do you have any further statements to make about that particular question before we get on to one more?
Okay, and so that was one little example of a personal experience that I had. Another personal experience that I had was a biological father of a lady that was first an abductee that I started investigating, and then not that night. It was, and I had a personal experience, which was very interesting. It was, she had the typical abduction, you know, thing, blood on the sheets and that kind of stuff. And the middle of the night, I was woke up, and it was like kind of like by several beings with a kind of a buzz, and they were angry, like angry bees. And they said, stay out of it. It's none of your business. And whoa, I said, so I kind of backed off from that case. And actually got to be friends with that person. And when I met her again about 2 years later, she had completely turned things around and was felt like she was dealing with other types of extraterrestrials. But she had, her biological father had been in the military, and he had told her, and he told me quite a bit of stuff, but he had told her that he had seen a film of the Eisenhower meeting with human extraterrestrials, the Blondes or the Nordics. And that three craft had come down, and that they had come in a limousine or something to the hangars, and then they'd spent 2 days there with them. And then, you know, he said that they had, the beings, when they decided to leave, they were, the military pulled guns on them, and they just walked out through the walls and back to their ships and whatever. And he'd seen a film of this. That in itself was, you know, I've talked to him personally, you know, knew him personally and whatever, and I knew his daughter, biological daughter, really well. And then I tend to think some of these other cases, with the case of Gerald Light, you know, he described a similar experience and situation, and also of the McCray, the state senator McCray, who had heard about this same sort of thing and whatever. So, you know, you just don't believe what you read in the literature. You've got to get down and get it from personal experience. And so you develop sources. You develop people that have been in classified work, but you can't use their names in odd, unfortunately. So that's why I have to use the names of people that have gone public, like Ben Rich and whatever, because I don't, you know, want trouble to come down on these people. I put people first. And in fact, this guy, after he talked to me, he had called the Pentagon, you know, asking me whether he could talk to me, and they didn't get back with him right away. And I interviewed him, and then they got up with him, and he told them what he did. Next thing you know, he'd been burglarized. All his papers had been stolen. He was given a whole new set of papers and everything. And he and a friend, and he even went after a friend of his, and both of them went out to a bar that night and got drunk. But there wasn't a lot I could do about that situation. But I've been wary about putting his name out into the public domain, you know, until that he's dead now. So that's, you know, I can do that. But his name was Sam Stanland. Then, you know, so I do talk to a lot of people that have inside, you know, have been on the inside, but I have to be very careful about it, and they have to be careful about how much they tell me, because it can get them into a lot of trouble, and I've seen that in my own experience, and that's the reason I have to use quotes and what's out there in the public domain a lot of time to build my case, because I can't build my, you know, case on harming other people.
Right, of course, and that's understandable. I know that very well. One of my suggested rules of investigation, there's 13 of them. One of them is respect all requests for anonymity and credit your sources. So now I'm not going to let this one go by here. I think I heard you say at the beginning of your answer here that you were actually contacted by some sort of non-human intelligence that told you to buzz out, not, you know, to leave it alone. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
That's the only really kind of a direct experience that I think I might have had, but who knows? You know, it could have been my own mind, you know, but I woke up and it was very real, and it was still kind of going on as I woke up, and it was enough to cause me to back up. I took it seriously enough at the time that I want to better be careful about this.
You don't think it was just a dream experience?
It was as I was waking up that it was happening, so I was already aware of my surroundings to some degree, my physical surroundings. So,
why don't you describe these beings?
All I could say is it was like I had pissed off some hornets. I made some hornets angry. And it was kind of like a group, like they were thinking it at the same time. It was like telepathic, and they were thinking it at the same time, and they were not happy with me interviewing this person. And it seemed like, I don't know how many, but there was, seemed like several. It could have been probably more than two, probably not more than five. But that's all I can say. I mean, you know, that was just the experience. But it caused me to back off for a couple of years with this person until they came back in my life again. And this person was having more experience, you know, better experience. And I remember saying afterwards, you know, in my own mind, in return, I said, you know, whoever handles these things, you take care of it. This is too much for me. I'm getting out of this. And so I sent a telepathic message back to somebody else somewhere that I have no idea what I was doing either. And it may have worked, because that person started having positive experiences after that and with human type extraterrestrials. But they did fall back into it with this type again or whatever, at least allegedly and whatever. So that led me, you know, into personal cases actually with this person where I actually saw a craft myself. You know, it's like these beings, you know, I deal with a lot of contactees and inductees and whatever, but it's like the ETs avoid me like a plague. And I just happened to get myself into a situation up north of Cairo, Georgia, where there was some activity going on. And there was another contactee there that was being contacted. And I had brought my camera with, I think, about 1600 high-speed film. And I had it set up on a tripod, and this craft started, this bright red light started coming in from the northeast. And as it slowed down, the bright red light got it got dimmer and dimmer, and then when it was actually hovering, the bright red light had actually just a little tiny spot, and you could see like windows on the side of it, like you're looking at an airliner on the side. It was about a quarter mile away, kind of over the swamp. And I took a picture of that thing, and I'd also taken pictures across the field of people's houses. You know, this was after dark. And the houses and everything showed up really good. I mean, the windows, you know, the light coming through the windows showed up really good from the houses and whatever, but that nothing showed up as far as that craft was concerned.
So and you then, saw it, but you took a picture, and the picture didn't show it.
Yeah, and then what happened, this guy took off down across the field, back down the river swamps. And this other lady that was a kind of a contactee, but she's kind of spacey sometime and whatever, you know, so you weren't sure, you know, he was just a kind of a solid, good old boy, not hardly an imagination whatsoever, just tells things like they are, you know. And he had taken off down across the field and was down in the swamp, and we took off, and we got down there, some strange noises going on, and I don't think he could have been making them. And she got scared, and I had to deal with her, you know, she said, "I'm scared, hold my hand," and she'd been wanting to meet these ETs. And while I'm dealing with her, apparently, allegedly, he was dealing with the ETs for a short period of time, and then they took on off. But I did see the craft, and I saw that it actually, when it hovered, it then moved again, and the bright red light, I mean, the small red light started getting bigger, and then as it slowed down, small red light got smaller, and then you could see, like, the craft again, like, looking at windows edge on. You know, I don't know if it was a saucer, because I was looking at it edge on. And he comes back out of the woods laughing at the way she was reacting to the whole situation or whatever after really wanting to meet these ETs, and then she freaks out, you know, in the process and whatever. And he's
careful what you wish for.
And his story is another long story that I've written up and everything, but that was a little bit of personal experiences too. The next night I took my wife down there, Susan at the time, and two of the other people, and we got down there, and I could have swore there was a saucer back down in those swamps. And I could actually almost see that saucer, and it ended up being a tower light, you know, eventually after stomping through the swamp for about an hour. So because I had already become so excited from the real event, I was actually becoming slightly deluded, you know, with the other light. So I can sympathize with contactees that are maybe having real experiences, but then their imagination can run away with them because my imagination was running away from me.
Maybe the imagination is running away from them, to be frank, when they think they've had contact experiences. I'm going to have to point that out to you, too. We have Ed Komarek. You're talking to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Have you ever wanted to give a gift that expresses faith in liberty, those powerful beliefs that shaped our nation at its founding? If so, pay close attention, because this may be the most important holiday message you'll hear this year. Beautiful Liberty Blankets are now available.
The Liberty Blanket is made right here in the USA out of all natural cotton. It's ultra soft, ultra warm, and designed to remind your friends and loved ones of the enduring values that won the battle for freedom in early America. The center of the Liberty Blanket has the words, "Appeal to God," a phrase that Washington and the founders used often as they announced to the world that their rights and liberties came from a sovereign creator. And in each corner of the Liberty Blanket details one of the pillars of American freedom: education, church, civil government, and justice. Regularly $59.95, now just $39.95. It's the perfect Christmas gift that helps your friends and family remember our nation's most precious legacy. To order your Liberty Blanket, go to libertyblanket.com. That's libertyblanket.com, or call 800-209-1258. That's 800-209-1258.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Ed Komarek talking about UFOs, exopolitics, contacts, secret space programs, and so much more with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. And as we move towards the latter part of the episode, the final portion, let me check with Chris. Any more questions?
Yes, I do have a question from JPW, who's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com. And his question is, what is your plan of action, Ed, if an official encounter with ET beings somehow goes wrong? For instance, the ETs do not respond as anticipated to any diplomatic overtures, perhaps responding aggressively. I mean, are we going to be able to handle that as a culture? Do you think that any sort of aggressive posturing could be dealt with by our military?
Well, my position is, and I'm trying to make this case in my writings, is that we already have that contact. Now, I know the spam filters start going off and red flags start being raised. One of the cases that I really like is the Charles Hall case involving the tall white extraterrestrials, because it's simple and it's pretty clean. And I myself have been able to collaborate and find more witnesses that back up parts of his story. And he said that the tall whites, who have a base of about 300 individuals in the north part of Nellis up in the bombing ranges, protected by Nellis now. It was there before the military actually built their base around it. And also one that he says was at Area 55, which I have no idea. Everybody knows what Area 51 is, but Area 55, I don't know where that is. And he said there was a gray base there. And that, so Nellis has created a secure area around these bases. And the tall white base was more or less a pit stop for their craft, because their craft exceeded the speed of light, but they didn't warp space and time and travel instantaneously from one place to another. So it took them about a couple of weeks to get here, and they can hit debris, and they have to repair their spacecraft and that kind of stuff. So it was a simple case of a kind of like a pit stop, and they had a little colony there for maintenance of the base, and there was children and wives and and that they would take them out in the desert and, you know, teaching the children, and that sometimes they would even come in with, they were close enough to look like ordinary humans to be able to, with some disguise, to go into Las Vegas and...
go to the little alien inn and have a beer.
But they looked like albinos, but they're really thin, and they had really blonde hair, but it was almost white, but they were tall. That's why they called the tall whites. And he's got four books out on that and a whole lot of detail. And so I've been working pretty hard and even went out west this spring to see if I could find more cases before I went too far out on a limb in this case. But he said that there's the government has a treaty, and basically he says the laws of economics don't end at the in the outer space, just like the laws of physics don't end. They extend out in the universe, and the laws of economics say the tall whites would rather have us supply that base, and we supply it themselves from them having to ship it in. In return, they'll give us some marginal technology for shuttlecraft and whatever, but not their deep space technology. So they made an arrangement with the military and the generals at the time, and they kind of got to know each other when Charles was there in the early 60s, and people got killed, and Charles managed to survive to tell the story. And he was involved. The reason that he could even talk about it and was allowed to talk about it, because it was in the treaty or the agreement, and the tall whites were very picky about their treaty, that he be not be molested or bothered by the military and whatever, you know, and what he wrote or talked to the public about.
Well, that special destiny quality, doesn't that throw up a major, huge, big, giant red flag to you?
Basically, what's going on there is that, you know, there were other people that contacted me. Tom Fox on the internet contacted me, and he had said he had seen them in the same areas where Charles Hall had said seen them on the public, you know, in the public areas. And once out in the desert, and then also going up the steps in a casino. And then there was other cases too as well. And then when I went out there, I researched that area really, you know, traveled and camped out up in the Spring Mountains, which are the south of Nellis. Beautiful area, beautiful canyons. Snow was still up around 8,000 feet where the highest campground was. We played in the snow a little bit and whatever. But this was an area that Charles Hall said that they parked up at Wheeler Pass, a very difficult area to get to, where there's a couple of charcoal ovens, and I found out there really were charcoal ovens there, but it was hard to get up there, so I couldn't get up there, and that's where they parked their craft a lot of times, and they'd float down in these little floating suits that floated over the surface above the ground, and they could even float up into trees and play around in a tree sometime with the women with their children and stuff and whatever. But they would park up there and they would float down, and he had watched this happen from an area where it was an ice cream stand or something or whatever, which is now there's a casino there. And I was able to confirm, you know, sort of looking at it myself, that this was possible. You could see Wheeler Pass from back over there. And I talked to the owner of the ski lodge where another big event happened, and he said, yes, there were charcoal ovens there, and that could be seen, those hills and that house where this little girl was supposedly floated out of a window to play with a tall white little girl. There were a lot of little specific things like that or whatever. But this idea of floating up off the ground and floating into trees, you know, was just a one little tiny detail of this whole story. And then I found a guy there in Indian Springs who was doing a garbage run late at night, and he had worked there at the ski lodge too before and whatever. And he was coming back down the mountain late at night, and he saw what he took to be flares in the trees and on the ground. And he says, oh boy, these are my friends from the military down there. I'm going to run down there and say hi. So he ran down there. He went up, drove on down there, and it was just dead silence. Absolutely nothing, no lights, no nothing. Nobody was there. And he said he got really scared. You know, he didn't know why, but he got really scared. He said, just let me get out of this alive. And he took off out of there. And that, you know, it's just a tiny bit of just a little snippet, just a little bit of correlation that what he might have seen with the tall whites up there during the summertime. They like temperatures, and he says, over 80 degrees. So it was in the middle of summer, and that they were playing around there up in the trees and whatever, and it seems to substantiate a part of that story. And that was just one small part. And then when I was also out there, I had a laptop with mobile access, and a lady on the internet, on Facebook, found me another witness in Las Vegas Sherry Hinkle, who had worked in Las Vegas and had met what she considered a tall-looking albino person with blue eyes and really light, very, very light blonde hair in a tunnel. And she said the buildings have tunnels going underground between them, and she wasn't supposed to be there, and they told her to get out of there.
I'll tell you what, we almost have time. Okay, in terms of getting to the bottom of these mysteries, finding the smoking gun, dealing with government secrecy, whatever there may be of it, what are your steps?
It's all or none. I mean, you know, we're not going to find a smoking gun until it all falls out. And I'm just hopeful that the global economic banking financial crisis and whatever may, you know, the breakdown in the European Union and all this, the breakdown of these powerful cartels, something may fall out, you know, for our benefit here, you know. But like Ben Rett said, it may take an act of God to get these things out into the public domain. So I just have to do the best I can, and I'm getting old, and I'm hoping that the younger people can take what I've discovered and the links and information that I've found and use that to their benefit to build their lives, just like I have, you know, built mine on the writings and the insights of other people that came before me.
I'll tell you what, where can our listeners get more information about the things you write about?
Okay, the best thing is just they can type in my name if they can spell my last name, which is difficult. My first name is Ed. My last name is Komarek, spelled K-O-M-A-R-E-K, Ed Komarek.
So we've been pronouncing your name wrong for the entire show, but
yeah,
we're very forgiving of it.
They can get me on Facebook, or they'll find my blog if they type my name in there, spelled K-O-M-A-R-E-K.
And by the way, we have a link to his blog on theparacast.com. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, you can find me here at theforum.theparacast.com. Also, I have a website, Our Strange Planet, which some decade might get finished and upgraded. You can also hopefully find the live feed from the San Luis Valley Camera Monitoring Project coming to the Paracast soon.
So, neighbors, if you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, you know where to send it, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. And by the way, if you do want to join our team, you have a background in sales, especially online sales, and broadcast experience as a salesperson is a must, do write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. Ed Komarek, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you very much.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.